So the 1st of May, this is 2024, 10,000 South Africans getting together to pray for the upcoming elections, to pray for South Africa at Let Us Pray 2024. It's presented by New Covenant Church in Bryanston. We've spoken to Pastor Ashley, but they also say they're bringing in Martin Smith. You know Martin Smith. He is a worship leader. He's a producer, worships at church. He's a songwriter. Do you remember Delirious? Of course, songs like Did You Feel the Mountains Tremble or Waiting Here for You, I Could Sing of Your Love Forever, History Maker. Of course, you know Delirious. Hello, Martin. How are you doing?
Oh, good morning. I liked it when you broke into melody there. Yeah, beautiful.
Let's pay you to sing. We pay to
exactly
to
yeah.
talk.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Well, I'll see you there. Learn the songs and I'll see you on the stage.
Martin, what time is it at the UK in the moment?
It's 7:40 in the morning, so this is the perfect time for me.
Why? I thought artists are later evening people.
Yeah, no, I'm a morning person actually, and that is very weird for a muso, isn't it? I really like the mornings, and you know, we've got kids on the way to school anyway, so it's all that. This is the sweet spot for me.
Well, I know 5,000,001 people have told you in the past that during my student years, we used to listen to Delirious. So I'll be one of those who said my husband and I met one another and that was the stuff that we used to listen to. Let's not take it for granted that people know who you are, Delirious, and the whole background story. Maybe just go get people there and bring us up to speed to today. Who are you these days?
Well, look, I'm just this guy in England, but I'm just trying to, you know, I'm still writing songs. You know, I love writing songs that, you know, especially people of faith can express their love to God through music. I think that's super important to me. So yeah, I'm doing that. The band I was in, Delirious, that ended actually in 2009, so it's quite a long time ago now. And since then, yeah, just being committed to making music, producing, helping, you know, a younger generation as well where I can. So it's been a good decade, and now I'm coming to South Africa again. I'm very excited. Thank you.
We can talk about the whole South Africa thing. I am curious about one thing though. When I looked at the biography, it says you're lead singer of Army of Bones as well. Was that another band? What's that?
Yeah, that's a band I started maybe 6 or 7 years ago. And that was my sort of going into clubs on a Saturday night band. You know, that was my rock and roll. And so we made this great record. You can listen to that on Spotify. So that's the other half of my brain as well.
Because that's the one thing that I think you as an artist got. You didn't stick to only praise and worship or only a contemporary kind of style or rock music or whatever it is that was the thing of the time. Somehow you got it right to go both ways in a workable way. Was it an intentional thing for you to not only put yourself in one box of music, to take that music to speak to more a generation than necessarily a taste of music?
Yeah, I mean the interesting thing is that when you you know, you read in the Bible the Psalms, of course we have all this text but no music. So we can read what people are saying and singing about, but we have no idea what the music sounds like. And I think that's there but for reason. I think the reason we don't have the music recorded is that almost God, the creator of the universe, is saying, well, make up whatever you want. You know, make the melodies and make the music that you want to support what you want to say. And I think I've tried to do that. You know, like, there's no rules, are there, with music? And it needs to be something that comes out of people's hearts. So I'm really excited about the next generation and what they're going to bring, because You know, there needs to be a new thing, doesn't there? So I'm excited about that.
The thing is, and this is what doesn't matter who the artist is, and we're only talking in the Christian music industry now, is I've had discussions with people saying, okay, what works so that they can make it in the kind of style that everybody likes and therefore get a platform to glorify God. Where it seemed to me that when you're talking about a new sound and something new to say, that God has put something unique in you, and you found something that was unique, delirious, or you never sounded like anyone else.
Sure. Yes. No, I think that we were... It was us. I think that's the music that we wanted to make. I don't think we thought, is this going to fit in America or is this going to fit in Australia? I think we just were, this is who we are and this is what we love to do. And we didn't realize that it was going to travel around the world and, you know, people be captivated. So I think we were surprised, you know, and overjoyed by that. And but I think that would be what I'd encourage. You know, if you're out there and you're 16, 17 years old, you know, and, you know, don't think about what's going to fit in. Think about what you love and what's coming out of you. And that's always the best music, always.
Mm, because, I mean, God's mercy is on you every morning. But then that was then, and through the ages now, you've seen worship music evolve. I mean, we've got these shooters that people notice. Then came the Bethels, and then came the Maverick City, and then came the... It must have been interesting for you to see how worship music changes with time, even though the music stays the same?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's the sonics, isn't it, that change. And, you know, the style changes. But, I mean, usually the content is always similar. So I think that's great, isn't it? You know, you're taking a message that is 2,000-3,000 years old, and just every generation presents that in a way that they want to do it. And I think that's great. I think, and that needs to happen again now, you know, probably more in the electronic space. So I think that's great. And yeah, but it was amazing for me to watch all these things come through, because, you know, Jesus Culture, now Upper Room, now Circuit Riders, you know, all these amazing people. And you know, amazingly, you know, I've become friends with all these people, and so that's been a joy to me to be part of people's lives, you know, and encourage them. And a lot of them grew up on the Delirious music, so that really has been a joy.
Gives you some authority in their lives. It definitely does. I do have to mention that there is criticism when it comes to a lot of worship music that is out there at the moment, that it's very touchy-feely, it's very emotional and encounter-based and less biblically based. What do you sure. experience?
Well, I mean, that comment could be valid, but I don't think that's true with everybody. I think there are some amazing songwriters that are incorporating. I mean, you think of what Brooke's doing at the moment, Brooke Leisurewood, it's very scripturally based. And so, you know, I admire her a lot. And I think, you know, there are certain people that are bang on, you know. So I think in any genre, in any job, style, group of music, you're going to have people that are some people that people love and some people they don't like so much. So I think that's just life, isn't it? but also, you know, the Christian faith is also a relationship, and it is emotional. It is touchy feely. He is a friend. We're friends of God, aren't we? So, you know, I don't sit down with my friends and talk theology every night. I talk about how I'm feeling and how are you doing, you know, what's affecting you, are you okay? So I think that we actually need it all. And sometimes there is a little swing, the pendulum swings out one way, then it comes back again and then it goes the other. So I think that over a course of 100 years, you see that pendulum swing from, like, you know, the original hymn writers to then Graham Kendrick singing big sort of songs for the streets, you know, Make Ways, Shine Jesus Shine. Then you get Jesus Movement in California, which is, you know, we love you, we love you, we love you, we love you. And then, you know, so you get all these movements through the ages, and I think you have to celebrate all of them, don't you?
Mm. A lot of the worship music comes out of, you know, the worship artists are under a church. or they're known as part of a specific movement. But then you find sometimes that the churches have got some things that happen in the churches that have got big question marks under them. And then suddenly you start questioning the artists themselves, whether you're now allowed to listen to them, you know, because now suddenly you have to weigh every song because the church that they're under sometimes has some things that go out there that people have huge things to say about. What do you think when it comes to the music? Should you then listen to it song by song and weigh them song by song, or is it better to stay safe and stay away from the iffy churches?
I think everyone has to decide that for themselves, don't they? And you know, whatever church you're a part of, you're sort of under that umbrella and authority. I mean, the thing is, it's all grace, isn't it?
Mm.
So, you know, we wake up in the morning, we take our first breath. That's the grace of God. You know, none of us have earned that. None of us have earned any of this, you know. And so when, especially for songwriters, you know, they write these amazing songs, and, you know, that is the grace of God. That's not because even their lives are in great shape or they're perfect. You know, a lot of people I know are broken. You know, we're all broken. So I think there has to be the context for that, you know, that the latest sermon or your church leader or the work, they're not perfect people.
Mm.
And so there's always going to be an element of brokenness and fragility and imperfectness in the mix. And I think bring it on, because, I mean, when you read the Jesus and the disciples, I think that's probably where it all started, wasn't it?
Mm. He who's been forgiven much loves much.
I think so, yeah. And I think you have to have a bit of grace with people and not, you know, otherwise you go back to sort of 1950 and churches burning Beatles records, you know. and now you look back and you think, well, that was a bit daft, wasn't it? Okay. they weren't church-going baptized boys, but they weren't also evil. You know, they were just musicians trying their best. And I think that history has shown us that you have to have a little bit of grace overall. And, you know, yes, there might be times when you don't want to sing a certain song because it triggers something. But, you know, you have to give things time, don't you?
Mm, truth. So you're not coming to South Africa, but it's specifically part of a prayer event, Let Us Pray 2024, praying for the upcoming elections in Joburg and to pray for South Africa. Now, did you know these people, New Covenant Church in Bryanston, before? I mean, you've been to South Africa a few times. So does this come out of a relationship, or did they invite you to come and just be part of something historical?
No. I knew someone very close to the person that invited me. And so, you know, that's always a good thing, isn't it? You know, that's that relational connection.
Yeah. And obviously there's 50 countries that have got elections going at the moment. So, you know, we're one of many. Do you have a heart for this country? I mean, when you come here, do you just come lead the worship, or do you feel for what we're going through?
Well, I mean, that's a great question, isn't it? I don't think I can fully feel, I'm not South African, but I don't think I can fully feel the weight of what you as a nation are going to go through or have gone through over the last 60, 70, 80 years. I think that would be impossible. However, in the moment, though, you do feel, okay, what's God doing here? You know, maybe I can, in a small way, contribute to that. You know, with enabling people to sing songs that lift their eyes up, you know. So it would be stupid of me to say, oh, yeah, you know, like I've got South African blood running through my veins, you know. You know, I'm an English guy and I'm coming for a week and I will pour everything I've got into that. And I do have a heart for South African people, of course. You know, I've been coming many years. Cape Town, Pretoria, Joburg, you know, Durban. You know, I've been all around and it's been very special. So I am very excited to be there.
Because I always wonder what you know, because you're sitting there, England is far away, and you only know what the media tells you, or maybe discussions you have with some South Africans this side. What's your perception of the challenges we face at the moment?
What a great question. Well, it's leadership, isn't it? It's authentic, you know, leaders with clean hands. I guess that's always been the struggle for every nation, right? Mm. Since the day that Solomon was put on the throne, you know, you then see sort of we've had 2,500 years of people being on the throne that have not always done the right thing. So I think that's in every nation, you know, and South Africa has had its unique problems in that area. But I don't need to know everything, but what I can do is help lift people's heads up. I think worship is powerful. You know, we cry out to God for help, and I think that's a universal thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. No, we also have perceptions then of the challenges that you face in England. So many people leave South Africa hoping that the grass is greener on the other side.
Yeah.
But you've got other kinds of challenges. Some would be the same, but others would be different. If you had to explain to someone the challenges you face, because obviously you can have South Africans praying for you guys as well, what would you say?
Well, similar to most of the Western nations that have sort of post, you know, post-materialism, post-socialism, post, you know, industrial revolution, is that we're losing our way.
Mm.
You know, we've become a secular nation, and, you know, the pendulum swings further and further out to the left, and you can just see, you know, it's the disintegration of family, isn't it? It's disintegration of leadership,
identity,
and that's probably common around the world now. Mm. You know, you go to America and you feel that. So, you know, what is poverty? Is that not having food to eat, but also poverty is losing your way, isn't it? So I think we're experiencing spiritual, social poverty, you know, for sure.
So in a world that is that lost, that is normal. The lostness is something that's all around you. You, as any kind of leader in Christianity, needs to be the one that has the truth, that's got a deep line in the sand, that knows exactly what is true and what isn't. What keeps you grounded?
Well, you know, this is going to sound like a sort of church answer, but for me, it's a real answer, and that is the scriptures. You know, like we have this thing called the Bible, and in it is every form of wisdom you can imagine that answers every sort of question you could ever ask. You know, body, soul, and spirit, from marriage to family to staying out of trouble to loving your neighbor, to grace, to forgiveness, to confession, to money, to power. Everything that you could ever imagine is going to happen in your life is already in that book. And so I do believe in that. I think that's important to be grounded in that, and that's going to be the thing that is the guiding light, isn't it? So that's important.
So do you have a message for South Africa? Now that you've got the platform, you've got the mic, you're speaking to everyone, you've got the undivided attention. Is there something you want us to know?
Well, I think Psalm 121, isn't it? I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from?
Hmm.
I think that is the essence of worship in the Christian faith, is that we not only lift up the name of Jesus, you know, and then, of course, it says that he inhabits the praises of his people. So whenever we sing together, especially, you know, like next week, there'll be 10,000 people. That's an amazing amount of people singing together that in itself creates power, that in itself creates wonder and worship to God. So that's the first thing, is we start singing together, we start taking our eyes off ourselves and lift them up. And then in a spirit of worship and truth, then I believe that God inhabits that. And once God is there, he can do anything. So I think that's where you see the signs and wonders and the miracles and the salvation and the deliverance. And so I think the two go hand in hand, don't they?
Yep, they do. Okay, if you want to join these people, it's called Let Us Pray 2024. Go to quickit.co.za. Get yourself there, quickit.co.za. Look for Let Us Pray 2024. And Martin, may the joy set before you be his heart. So that it doesn't matter what is in your way, that nothing will be able to stand in that mission of yours to give him the glory that he's due, and that your glory works, that people make actual connections with Jesus, so that your music will have meaning right up till that day you stand before him and you hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We want to bless you with that.
Thank you.